Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, this evening we'll be looking at Pilate, a person that is remembered in the history of the world for his contact with Jesus, which was probably a total of 1 to 2 hours that he spent with Jesus. And yet, it's for that one thing that he is famous. We know very little about Pilate elsewhere. There is one stone in Caesarea, the place where Pilate's residence was, that has his name on it, indicating that he helped to build that building or had built while he was there. But the more famous and most used part of where we know Pontius Pilate is what we say every Sunday in the Creed, where we confess that was under Pontius Pilate that Jesus Christ was crucified, died, and was buried. That's what he's remembered for. Now, Pilate tried to get around that. If you listen carefully to the lesson tonight, it didn't take Pilate very long to realize that Jesus was totally innocent. He had done nothing that deserved death. That was Pilate's verdict from the very beginning. But, as we know, Pilate had some other problems. He had a problem that sometimes even we have, and many of us at times do. We want people to like us. And Pilate was the same way. He wanted to be everybody's friend, and he wanted the people to like him. And so he had that dilemma. How can I deal with Jesus? He's innocent. I want to set him free. But here's this mob of the high priest and others telling me that I need to crucify him. I need to get rid of him. And so Pilate tries all sorts of things to get around it. Now, he could have done what he had the power to do. Simply said, he's innocent. I'm going to set him free. But the chief priest had a little ace in their hole. They had dealt with Pilate before, and Pilate had made some blunders. And the chief priests were pretty good at blackmail, and that's what they held against him. If you don't kind of go along with us, we're going to send a delegation to Caesar in Rome. He's going to call you back, and you're going to be reprimanded and maybe put to death for the things that you've done here. And so they had him kind of over the barrel. So he wanted to please them and everything else. In fact, the priests were so sure that it was going to be a real simple thing that they took him to him, and when he says, what has this man done? And they say, why do you bother ask? Get out your stamp and a stamp approval to crucify him. That's all we need from you is a rubber stamp. Pilate didn't want to do that. And so he tries to talk to Jesus. He has that dilemma. How can he please the people? How can he win friends with the Jews? And so one idea that comes up as he deals with him, he hears that he's from Galilee. And he said, there's an out. There's an out. I'll send him to King Herod. Let Herod deal with him. And I'm done with this. But Herod, he was happy to see him. Herod had been wanting to see Jesus for quite a while because he'd heard about all his miracles. And Herod thought for sure Jesus was going to do some magic trick. And that's what he wanted, to be entertained. Herod was one who constantly wanted some entertainment. And so he wanted Jesus to entertain him by doing some magic trick, as he thought it was, a miracle. Jesus doesn't even say a word to Herod. He knows him. And so he sent back to Pilate. Pilate has no choice but now to deal with it. How is he going to deal with that? Then his wife comes along and says, I had a bad dream last night. Don't have anything to do with this Jesus of Nazareth. I had this bad dream. And if it's nothing good going to come out of this. And tradition kind of tells us that the bad dream was that she had saw Jesus return in judgment of the whole world to judge the world, but that he also had mercy on those who repented of their sins. And tradition also tells us that Pilate's wife, a few years later, did become a Christian and joined a Christian church about the same time that Pilate himself committed suicide because he could no longer live with what he had done. but was unwilling to repent as well. And so there's Pilate's dilemma again. He thinks, let's try sympathy. Let's try sympathy. Maybe we can get the people to sympathize with Jesus. We'll have him scourged. Now, scourging was pretty rough. They'd strip a person off and hit him with a whip, and after a few strokes, your back looked like hamburger. Many people died when they were scourged. Jesus did not. But when they brought him out and says, here's your king, he's scourged, the people were all worked into frenzy, crucify him. We weren't happy with that. Sympathy was not going to work. Then he figures maybe Jesus could be set free with a little sympathy and then the usual giving one person freedom at the Passover. And so he took the worst possible guy he had in prison, which was Barabbas, who had committed murder and was a bandit. Nobody loved him. And he figured there's no way they would choose Barabbas rather than Jesus. But again, it failed. And so having nothing else to do, he says, I'm going to wash my hands of the whole thing. It's your problem. The chief priest, you are responsible for his death. He washes his hands and sends Jesus to be crucified. But look at all that. He had good intentions. Good intentions all the way through. Do you and I ever have good intentions? Great plans, what we're going to do. Great plans of how we're going to serve Jesus and how we're going to show our love for Jesus. And then we get with our friends. And, you know, they have other ideas. And they kind of encourage us, you know, let's go do this tonight. This sounds like a lot of fun. And you know right away it's not something you want to do. It's not something you as a Christian should be involved in. But there's those friends. They're encouraging you. They're enticing you. They're telling you how much fun it's going to be. And why don't you join us? And gosh, if I say no, what's going to happen to me? How are they going to treat me if I don't go along with them? Now, teenagers, you know, their problem is with a kegger. They know right away they shouldn't go to that keg party, but all the pressure is on. And so what happens? Far too often they go. But we as adults find the same type of pressure in different things. Maybe it's joining in gossip at work or other things. And those times we become a Pilate. We're just like Pilate. We don't have the backbone to stand up for our faith and do what we know is right. But let's pray that we can avoid that and have the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts so that we can stand up and do what we know is right, that we are to do as God's people and live as his people in this world. Let's not be Pilates, but instead let us show our love for Jesus. God grant it to all of us. Amen.